Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So you remember this week, first there was the Space Force. We're going to have spacemen. We're going to have a Space Force. It's going to be separate but equal to the Air Force. And then evidently last night in Duluth, we're going to evidently reopen NASA. Yeah, we're going to put people into space. We're going to do that. Just kind of a thought, and the internet had fun with this as well, but I didn't know NASA ever really closed. And as I understand, we actually have people in the International Space Station. Just kind of a, you know, one of those things where you'd think the president might, I don't know, have a clue. Well, maybe not. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day and, hey, where we can get the high fashion jacket that Melania wore to the southern border, our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, spacemen, Sarah, spacemen, reopen NASA, Space Force, laser guns, helmets. It's going to be great. It's going to be tremendous.
I think this is really all a ploy about Trump renaming a planet after himself. I think it's probably going to be, he's going to rename Uranus to Trump's anus.
See, I got Uranus in stereo. It came from you and from my wife who said, right there, because I think that's where everyone goes with that. That is the natural progression of thought when talking about Trump.
My favorite joke was somebody who said he's gonna man the first mission and put a man on the sun.
And I hope he's the guy who does it. Look, he's got the orange complexion. It'd be you know, perfect, you know, kind of thing.
They would go so well together.
You know, the thing is, you know, this is the thing that gets me. You know, this stuff would be funny if it weren't sad.
I know, right? There are something like 18,000 people who work at NASA. There are people doing amazing climate work to monitor climate change, which it's not like he believes in anyway. We've got the Mars rover still up there taking selfies, being like, yo, I'm here. So, I mean, come on, dude. There's a lot of great, amazing science work going on at NASA. Granted, I do wish we could spend more money, give them more money to do some cool things, like figure out, you know, how to travel to other planets and not just the moon, maybe. I think that'd be cool. But,
in order to do that, Sarah, don't you have to actually believe in science?
You would think, right? Like, I was thinking maybe one of the things that he would do is make Pluto a planet again, because that goes along with the fact that he doesn't really believe in science. So that would be something nice he could do.
I'm going to make Pluto great again.
Yeah, make Pluto great again.
Can we send him there?
Like, I'm all about just sending him in outer space. He can be the first president to go into outer space and stay there.
Just crazy. But hey, you know, nothing surprises me. And again, a nice distraction. But I got to get to the coat. Where do we get the fashion design? Is she going to have some Chinese children make us some coats like this? Because, hey, who cares? I don't care. Do you care? Actually, I do. But the coat.
The thing about the coat that really surprises me is that, so she didn't have the coat on whenever she left Air Force One. She only had it on when she was going back up the steps. And I wonder, that makes me wonder if all of this was staged. And I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe this is my weird conspiracy theory. Melania is subtly trying to undermine her husband's presidency. But I mean, if that is the message, it's spot on, because his White House doesn't care about these kids. And I mean, that was the perfect message to display, because it's true.
No, I mean, it's scary because, you know, the whole idea was she was supposed to go down there to give that kind of mothering view that, you know, she does care, and that she in her tweet said that she cared about all this. And now to do that, part of me, you know, a lot of thoughts were running through my head. Like, maybe, you know, Donald wrote it on the back of the coat without her knowing, kind of like punking her or something.
The thing that I thought is, so Melania, if you're into the whole fashion thing and you watch what she actually wears, she wears really, really expensive classic things. This is not one of those things. This is a jacket that was $39 made from a Mexican designer. And that's what made me think this was all a stage deal, because that's not typical for her. That's not what she wears. She certainly doesn't spend $39 on a coat whenever she's got a self-described billionaire for a husband. She's a fashion model. She doesn't, you know, shop at Target. So I just, that was the thing that just made me be like, this is weird. This is not her typical thing. And again, like, this is the perfect message from the White House, because this is like, this is the real God's honest candor that we're finally getting from somebody being like, yeah, no, we don't care. We really don't.
Do you buy the Trump tweet that it was about the fake news media? Do you buy any of that?
It's always the fake news media, right? I am fake. I am not really standing here. I am a figment
of the
internet's imagination.
That's because you're sitting. No, I mean, do you buy that as you know, that there was some thought put into this and that it was all about the fake news? Or, you know, because I saw it and I'm going, I don't know how you get from there to there. This is just telling me you don't care. You just met with these kids. You went down there for the photo op, and now you're saying, you know, up yours. I don't care.
Yeah. There's no way. Like, she's very particular about what she wears. She's, whenever they go to various countries, she will wear a designer from that country. Like, she knows what she's doing. So the idea that she just like randomly put on a coat just doesn't make sense to me. I don't buy that at all.
So what do you think the message was then? I mean, you know, was this a shot at, I don't even know that this would be a shot at Donald so much. Yeah. I have no idea what the end game of that message is, other than I really don't care.
Oh, no. Did I lose you?
No, it's just one of those things that, you know, again, you just kind of look at and you know, it's frustrating. So, you know, I guess we're going to play this game again. I look at this coat and this whole thing, and I go, you know, there's just no way conceivable that it isn't that message. Just nothing at all. There's no way that I can possibly, in any way, shape, or form, come to the conclusion that she cared about any of these kids, and that this was just a plain in your face, you know, snub kind of job. I mean, that's all I can think of. It's just that simple. Right, Sarah?
Sorry about that. But yeah, no, I think this is one of those weird things where never before have I seen something so incredibly perfectly illustrate what this White House feels than something as silly as a jacket. Because that's where they're coming from. They don't care. I mean, look at Ivanka Trump's tweets about this. She tweeted one completely ridiculous tweet about with her and her kid when all of this was happening, like, yeah, a photo of her and her child. And then today she says, now because of the executive order, if only we could, you know, reunite kids with their families. And it's like, dude, you're a senior level staffer in your father's White House. Why don't you spearhead this project? You know, why don't you take this on and decide, all right, I'm going to be the one who makes sure, I'm going to coordinate all of these different agencies and ensure that all of these families get back together, because I really care about it. Like, don't just tweet about something. You're in the White House. Do something about it.
No, and Melania too. I mean, just the other day she tweeted out that I think she was meeting with the First Lady of Spain, and, you know, they were, I don't know, having tea on, you know, deciding on what they were going to do to help the children. And you go, what?
I know. You have the power. I mean, it's like they don't realize. This goes back to the whole thing where they think that Hillary Clinton is still the president. They just don't know what they have the capacity to do. Clearly, they have the capacity to screw stuff up, so maybe they should consider fixing it.
Yeah. Now, it's being reported that Trump's having temper tantrums in the White House because, as I said at the beginning, he truly believed that this was going to, you know, get the culture warriors all bunched up in the panties. And it's backfired on him. Are you hearing the same things?
Yeah, this is one of those interesting kind of miscalculations, I suppose, is what you would call it, where it definitely did rile up the base. But when you talk about that middle ground, those people that went to for Trump that made the swing vote, those people do not like this story. They don't like seeing these images. They don't like hearing the cries of children, particularly when you talk about suburban women. Those are voters that need to turn out for Republicans in 2018. And I don't know that they will now. I mean, you can look at there's polling about the enthusiasm gap. Republicans are not excited about voting. Democrats are very excited about voting. So, I mean, you talk about independents getting involved in the election. This might be a bad thing for them.
No, and they're the ones who swing the votes. You know, I say this all the time. You know, it comes down to the middle 5% of voters who decide just about every election. And sadly, those 5% are generally the most uninformed voters in the country who sway our elections one way or the other.
Yep, exactly. And when you see, I mean, these images were everywhere. You could not escape this. And so these voters are going to, were pummeled with these images and these cries. So
no, and look, there are a number of Democratic candidates and organizations out there who are, you know, who are using that audio of those wailing children. I don't know how you can listen to that and not be moved by it. And, you know, we played the video of, I think it was the Future Majority PAC. They put out a video of a little girl singing America the Beautiful with all of these images of these kids being, you know, locked up in cages and crying and all of this stuff. And it's one of those really just amazingly powerful ads.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not just that you feel sad and you feel sorry for them. These could be anybody's kids. You look at these faces, this could be anybody's daughter or granddaughter. And I don't know how you cannot have empathy for the people who just want a better life. They just want to escape violence.
Yeah, but these are conservatives. These aren't Bush era compassionate conservatives. The compassion has just been completely drained out of these people. It's all about the politics of winning. And I go back to, you know, the Trump idea that this was going to be just like, you know, those SOB NFL players kneeling. We were going to get those culture warriors all tingly in the panties and all enraged because they were going to keep the families together because of Obama. And it kind of bit him in the behind a little.
Yeah, he's losing people from this. And I'll be interested to see what the polling is from this week. I think we'll probably get it over the weekend or on Monday, because I bet he takes a huge hit.
At least I hope so. I mean, at the end of this, I hope that that sends a message. It just is what it is. Let's move on. Michael Cohen, did you know he resigned as the deputy finance chairman of the RNC just the other day?
Yeah,
really? It took that long?
And this is the thing that did it, the immigration crisis. His father was an immigrant. So, I mean, I guess that is his breaking point. All of the other things, you know, but this was his breaking point. And I'm surprised that it took this long. But if you're Trump's fixer and you try and kneecap people, then maybe that's all he's got.
Or do you think this is a good pivot point to where you now go, no, you know, I was this guy all along, but this was a bridge too far. Now I turn and I pivot. And because there are a lot of people saying, you know, this was kind of a now I'm open to singing kind of statement.
I wondered actually if that's what it was. I wondered if this was an opportunity for him where he just thought, you know, I wanted to run away from this and I wanted to try and build up my own public relations nightmare so that I looked like a compassionate person and build up my profile. So he just used it as this opportunity. Or it could just be, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's honest or not. That's the thing about these people is that if they were not Trump people, you would assume that this was genuine and honest. And these people just end up screwing me up every time I think, you know, this is well-intentioned, and then it turns out not to be.
Yeah, see, I have a hard time, you know, allowing myself to believe that any of these people have a soul.
I know.
And that any of this would be done in an altruistic kind of manner and not for some skeevy, underhanded, you know, plot to save their own skin.
Yeah, and I think Michael Cohen especially. When you think about him, there's nobody worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. What do you think of this story about the Wall Street Journal with Cohen and the National Enquirer?
I think we knew this was coming. I think this was what's so crazy is that the National Enquirer guy, Pecker is his name. it's like we're 13.
His first name isn't Richard, is it?
No, I wish it was. That'd be great. But so Pecker, We really are like 13-year-old boys.
So I'm sorry.
He like, this dude goes out on media appearances and opens up about the fact that he paid all of these former mistresses of Donald Trump and he did it to keep them quiet because Trump was running. Like, dude, you can't do that. That's not the way that the law works. And he just comes right out with it like, oh yeah, I did this thing. He's my buddy. So I tried to help him out. So I kind of knew that this dude was going to get subpoenaed. We'll see if Michael Cohen does a plea deal. If he does a plea deal, then you'll probably never see Pecker take the stand. But I know that that's a lot of information that he's going to provide about another payment that was given.
All right. So we're going to see the Pecker on the stand. I get it. All right. How do you go through life with it? See, it's no wonder that he got into the National Enquirer.
Yeah, right? With a name like that.
Yeah. It's not even like Schmucker.
Right?
Never mind. I got to move on. I got to get away from this. Help me. Help me get away from this. What did you think of Lewandowski's womp womp thing? I mean, what the heck was that?
What a soulless ass. You know? I mean, what a terrible human being. And I, the guy who responded to it was a DNC staffer. I mean, his response was spot on. He did exactly what I felt like I would say to him is, how dare you? How absolutely dare you? I mean, it's one thing to not have empathy for brown people. Now you don't have empathy for anybody that's disabled, which I guess matches his boss who made fun of the New York Times reporter. So...
Yeah, but Sarah, here's the thing that gets me, and this is one of those things I've been saying all week on the show. You know, we've, as a society, Republicans have done nothing to stop kids being slaughtered in school on the gun issue. They're literally taking food out of the mouths of children. They're literally taking health insurance away from them. They don't care if, you know, you look at what they're doing with HUD. We're going to kick families out of housing. I mean, you just go down all of the list of the things that we're doing to our own children. What makes anyone think they give a tinker's damn about anyone else's children, especially if they're black or brown or from somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is what pro-life really looks like when they talk about, you know, keeping, when they talk about family values. This is Republican family values.
Yeah, I've always said that, you know, the anti-abortion people are the ones who just want all these poor kids to be born so they can watch how miserable their lives are. Some kind of fetish of misery porn, if you will.
Yeah. No, I agree. I absolutely agree.
It's twisted. I've got to get your thoughts on this head of the Homeland Security, this Chrisjen Nielsen. Should she just give up on Mexican food for a while? Which I got to tell you is tone deaf on so many levels that the night all of this stuff breaks, you're going to a Mexican restaurant.
Right. And, you know, she had to like walk out of that place looking at her husband being like, and you wanted Mexican food. Thanks.
No, she should have had to run out of there.
Yeah, she should have. I mean, that was humiliating. And I mean, God, seriously, how tone deaf. It seems like she spends the majority of her time these days trying to prove that she should keep her job. She just tries to promote the president as much as possible, do whatever he wants, and try and out-disgusting him. And, you know, this is who we have. And I don't know if you also saw this week that she decided that she doesn't believe that the Russians are trying to hack the 2018 election. So it's like, you're the person who's in charge of Homeland Security and you don't believe in the Russians continuing to attack us when all of the intelligence agencies are saying this. Great. I feel safe. Thanks.
No, I feel no safety whatsoever. But again, you know, I look at this woman and I go, why you haven't resigned is beyond me. And just, you know, just looking at that makes me go, you're a soulless. Where's Samantha B when I need her?
Right.
You know, you're just soulless.
Yeah. But hey, look at Scott Pruitt. There's another one. I mean, these people and Betsy DeVos, they are all just wretched people. And of course, nobody's going to resign because the other person is just as bad or worse.
It's amazing. And finally, the other story I found very interesting, a statement by one of Obama's ex-advisors. While you know, Trump's running around saying the elites are out to get him, I thought, you know, this guy's comment was spot on. basically, Trump's got a golden toilet. Talk to me about somebody who's elite.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Trump gets up there in Minnesota and he tells all of these people in Duluth, you know, oh, these elites. I don't know why they think they're so elite. I have more money. I'm the president. I have a bigger apartment. Like, he basically just proved that he was more elite than the elites. And then Dan Pfeiffer from the Obama administration gets up there and it's like, dude, I got news for you. You have a gold toilet. You are a member of the elite. Surprise.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I bet he's got a $16,000 shower curtain like the that Kozlowski guy from Tyco, or the, what was it, a $7,000 or $8,000 umbrella stand.
Yeah. I mean, come on, dude.
It's crazy. But did you see some of the video footage that, you know, some of the news coverage out of the, that rally, you know, of the, especially the one woman who was just breaking down in tears about he tries so hard and everyone's against him. He's ripping children away from their parents. And you're okay with that.
But that's exactly what he tries to do, is he tries to seem like he is the victim. That's part of this sociopathy about him, is he's always the victim. It's always, you know, somebody's coming after him and you need to save him and protect him. And that's how his supporters connect with him. They sort of see themselves as, you know, he's misunderstood just like I'm misunderstood. And so I have to, you know, get involved and try and protect this person. And it's like, no, he really is a horrible person.
Horrible person all the way around, and hopefully come November, a loud message sent. Sarah, I appreciate the thoughts, the time, the work. Good stuff.
Thank you.
As always, our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Make sure you check out her work. They're incredible stuff. They also do good stuff on other topics as well. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.